Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today our message is on our relationship with God. It's important to all of us, isn't it? A relationship that has been nurtured all of our lives. And folks, it's going to continue to be nurtured until we're with Him in heaven. All right, I want to use our Old Testament lesson as an intro. And we're going to start in verse 27. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and He rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth will eat and worship. Before Him shall bow down and go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. And here's the important one. They shall come and proclaim His righteousness to a people yet unborn, that He has done it. Think about that for a second. He has done it. Now, in this, He's talking to a Jewish audience. But my friends, we come out of the Jewish heritage, so He's talking to both Jews and Christians alike. Because we're all believers in God. I'm going to spend some time today talking about the interconnection between Judaism and Christianity. Because they're interconnected by background, grace, and by scripture. The Jews were, and they still are, God's chosen people, and they will become believers of Jesus Christ on the last day of judgment. That's what the Bible tells us. So whenever I have a brother that says, I've got to go witness to the Jewish people because they're all going to hell. No, they're not. They're God's chosen people. There's even a lot of Jews now that have become Jews for Jesus. And they run Jewish synagogues that are based on Jesus. In fact, it's really interesting to go to one of those services. Now, all that being said, I'd like to touch on some of the Jewish contributions to our Christian heritage. You know, first of all, this service we do, the way it's set up and things like that, that's a Jewish service. It's the way they're done in the temple and the synagogue. How many of you knew that? We have so much heritage that comes out of that. Now, the words of the Mass are not Jewish. The way we have our service with the message, this kind of stuff, it's all Jewish. I was very blessed to sing in the choir of a Jewish synagogue for a year. I mean, on a Friday night, you got $10 a service and a free meal afterwards when you're in college. That's nice. Of course, I always had somebody come up and say, I want you to meet my daughter. And I said, well, I'm going, which means I'm not Jewish. And she said, that's all right. And that happened more than one time. But it was really interesting because in this choir, we had a big choir, about 40, 45 people, 10 Christians. So we're all sitting up there with Yarmulke. And Rabbi Kripsky was a great New Testament scholar. And he would turn around to us and he said, well, like Matthew 16 says this. But he says, we have trouble believing that because I learned a lot about the New Testament in a Jewish synagogue. Think about that for a little bit. Okay? They're related. But look at some of the great contributions we've had from Jews. Leonard Bernstein, a good Jewish boy, director of the New York Philharmonic. If you were kids and watched the children's concerts, you know, they used to be on Saturday morning on TV back in the 50s and 60s. Some of us weren't born yet, but most of us were. You know, I grew up listening to those. But he wrote his Mass, Leonard Bernstein's Mass. Beautiful music. But it's the words of the Mass. It's a Christian service written by a Jew. Okay, think about that for a second. Now, Godspell. Okay, I'm going to sing a little bit from that in a minute. But, well, before I get into that, let me talk about Felix Mendelssohn. How many of you know Felix Mendelssohn, composer? Okay, 1800. Nice Jewish boy. To inherit some money, he had to become Christian. I mean, he was not dumb, so he became Lutheran and inherited. And he changed his name to Felix Mendelssohn Bartholdy. So if you see Felix Mendelssohn on a piece of music, it's before his conversion. If you see Felix Mendelssohn Bartholdy, it's after the conversion. Now, he did it to get the money. However, he became a great Christian. St. Thomas's Church in Leipzig, which was blown up by the communists. Felix Mendelssohn was a professor at the university in Leipzig. And they wanted to clean out the attic of the church. Attic was filled with music. And they said, would you go up and take a look at that, see if there's anything worth saving? Otherwise, we're going to burn it all. Time to get rid of it. So he said, sure. He went up there. And as he was going through, he started to find this music that was a collection of music by the choir master who had been there 100 years before. This choir master served at the church from 1723 until his death in 1750. Felix Mendelssohn was finding some of the most complex, beautiful music that he'd ever seen. So Mendelssohn saved all of this music from being burned. And in 1850, 100 years after the death of this composer and choir master at the church, they put on a concert from an unknown composer. His name just happened to be Johann Sebastian Bach. That's how close we were to losing Bach's music. If they hadn't asked Mendelssohn, they just would have burned it. Now, here we are, a nice Jewish boy in a Christian church putting on a... You know, there's all these things that are... In fact, he wrote his third symphony, what is called the Reformation Symphony, and it's based on the mighty fortress of their God. Great music. Now, I'm going to talk about Godspell. Godspell was written by Stephen Schwartz. How many of you ever saw Godspell that came out in 1970? Huh? Well, it's great music and it's a great story. I mean, it's the passion. Which is sad because those things. Godspell, the music from it, I mean, there's, you've heard this stuff on the radio, day by day, day by day, oh dear Lord, these things I pray. How many of you recognize that? Yeah, but it's from, the music is from Godspell, okay? So there's so many of those things. Now, I've sung this in here before, but I think it's important. We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land. But it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. He sends us snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and soft refreshing rain. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord, for all his love. And then it goes into a bridge. Second verse. We thank thee then, O Father, for all things bright and good. The seed time and the harvest, our life, our health, our food. No gifts have we to offer, for all thy love imparts, but that which thou desirest, our humble, thankful hearts. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord, oh thank the Lord, for all his love. I really want to thank thank you, Lord. And the choir comes in, and I mean, it's great. But you probably have never heard those words before. Okay? They're one of the Psalms. In fact, when we did that Psalm, I actually sang it. What was it? About 6 months ago, I think. But, folks, I've talked a lot in here about arrows, haven't I? So do the arrows go from us to God or from God to us? They always go down. We don't control God. He controls us. It's not up to us for our relationship. It's up to God for our relationship. Because isn't faith a gift from the Holy Spirit? It's a gift from God. All right, now, we just had the Old Testament lesson that finished with, okay? They shall come and proclaim his righteous new a people yet unborn, us, that he has done it. Now, let's look at Stephen Schwartz's music. We plow and field to scatter the good seed on the land, but it's fed and watered by God Almighty. Not anything we do. He sends us snow in winter, the warmth to swell the grain, the breezes and the sunshine, and the soft, refreshing rain. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. He's done it. He's the one that gives it to us. Everything is sent to us from heaven. Which way are the arrows going? Down. Okay? You know, folks, our religion is not based on anything we do. That's why I love that third article explanation to the creed. We're studying in catechism right now. But Luther wrote this. I cannot, by my own reason or faith, know my Lord Jesus Christ or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. You know, when we look at that, it's not rocket science. But one of the things Gene was telling me he was reading the catechism and really enjoying it. Why? Because all the things we believe as Christians, he uses the scripture in the catechism to explain it. And when you start looking at scripture for an explanation, that's a pretty good explanation, isn't it? I think so too. So, it's the Holy Spirit is the person of the Trinity who brings us that faith. It comes from God to us. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul wrote, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. We can't say it unless the Holy Spirit's in our heart. And we can't believe it unless the Holy Spirit is in our heart. So we can't do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. Why? The Bible tells me so. If we go back to the very first time we learned, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. You know, we look at what's in the Bible, and it's just very basic. We've been talking about both in our Wednesday morning Bible study and in the catechism. Our God is a God of love. Our religion is a religion of love, but it's agape love. Okay, it's unconditional with sacrifice. So in other words, we have to do things for our fellow man to get the full benefit of the love. And remember, my working definition for love, anybody remember it? Since I've said it twice this week. When someone else's happiness is more important to you than your own. I'm going to say that again, boys and girls. When someone else's happiness is more important to you than your own. Is that a good definition of love? I think so too. Well, even as the Father created us, Jesus Christ, his Son, saved us. The Spirit's main role, I think, is to call us to faith. It's because of the Spirit we're here this morning. It's because of the Spirit we do things. Pastor Don and I talked about the fact when we were younger, everything was Jesus in church. And what did you say? There were like four books on the Holy Spirit 50, 60 years ago? not the good old books on the Holy Spirit. I think it's because we finally recognize and realize that the sanctified life, the holy life, is through the Holy Spirit. So we like being holy rollers. In fact, I did a funeral one time and I talked about the Holy Spirit's relationship. And we had a bunch of Pentecostals, you know, very strong Pentecostals, who were more about the Holy Spirit. He said, I never thought I'd hear that in a mainline church. What, our relationships with the Holy Spirit? He said, yeah, I always heard this Jesus. I said, well, Jesus redeemed us, but the thing is, our ongoing relationships with the Holy Spirit. He said, that's what we believe. I said, that's what Christianity is. But isn't it sad somebody had to say that? You know, and it's those kind of things. Well, how does he do this? Well, he does this by using the word, and he does it by using the sacraments. And what are the sacraments? Holy baptism and Lord's Supper. Okay? In the Lutheran Church, we call those the means of grace. Okay, here we are with grace again, grace alone. And that word for grace in Greek is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, which is the basis for the word Christ. You know, all of this stuff, once we really start looking at the interconnections, Judaism, Christianity, all of this stuff we're talking about, it's all interlocked. When we're called to faith, it's not because of our works. Look at it in Ephesians, okay? It is through grace we are saved, by our faith, not by works. But as Christians, do we do works? Yes, James, who, well, I'm not going to get into the whole thing there, but he was right in the first part of James, and he said, faith without works is a dead faith. Because remember, everything we do has to flow out of the side. If we don't do anything to let it flow out, are we acting as Christians? No. Okay? And that's important. So, Holy Spirit has no favorites. We're all acted on by the Holy Spirit. We all have faith through one thing, His grace. But I have been called by the Holy Spirit through the gospel. All right, so what did our gospel lesson tell us today? 34. And calling the crowd to him with the disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. All right, he told them to do something. Now, remember the difference between law and gospel. Law is what we do. Gospel is what we receive. So if Jesus tells us to do something, is it law or gospel? Yes. Both. Okay? Because when we're doing something, it's law. But yet out of Jesus' mouth, it's gospel. Okay? For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. So in other words, if you don't do anything, if you don't take out the gospel and live it out in your life, are you going to have eternal life? But if you do, even if you lose your life, you're going to have eternal life and you will be saved. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? Well, nothing. You can't ransom a soul. Jesus ransomed us on the cross. And again, what does ransom mean? To pay for something. Okay? In the church, we use it a real fancy word. It was called vicarious atonement. Ooh, Latin. Didn't know you were going to get Latin and Greek today. Anybody know what vicarious means? Pastor, you can't say. Yeah. A vicar. Remember, I was called a vicar on my practice here because I'm standing in the place of. So vicarious means someone who stands in the place of. Atonement. He stood in the place for our atonement, our forgiveness of sins. Okay. And that's just the fancy words. It means Jesus died on the cross for us. But of course, in the church, we have to use these fancy words, you know. I love this. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation. Is he talking about today? Sure he is. Of him will the Son of Man also turn page. Be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. All right, go ahead and be ashamed of me, okay? Talk me down to somebody else. On that last day, what am I going to do? I'm going to be ashamed of you. When we take a stand through the gospel, we're affirming our relationship with God. And that's what we started to talk about today. And our relationship from God comes from Him, but we participate in it. It's one of those things, when I hear somebody, I accepted God, I sort of cringe a little. Because God accepted us and we allowed him to come into our hearts. Because if we make a conscious decision, I'm going to follow God, which way are those arrows going? See what I'm getting at? It's one of those things you never think about. Okay? There's a hymn in here that, I've decided to follow Jesus. We'll never sing in here. Why? Because it's bad theology. We didn't decide anything. But what we did is we received Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit at the time of our baptism. Baptism is a heavy time. We renew that every Sunday when we come to the Lord's table. Because here is forgiveness. Here is our relationship with Jesus. But I always find it interesting that the beginning of this relationship was started in Genesis 1, verse 3. Steve read this for us this week. And God sent his Spirit out over the waters. God didn't send himself, he sent his Spirit. God the Father, God the Spirit. Who's missing right there? God the Son. Was he there? You bet he was. And remember, I've told you about this before. In the Old Testament, there's two words for the Lord, Adonai and Elohim. Whenever you are reading the Bible and they've got Lord in funny print, that's because it was Adonai. Okay? And we don't do that. We don't say that. I mean, Jewish religion didn't do it, and so we respect that. We don't either. But Elohim, I think, is so important for us. It's that in a relationship we have with Elohim. El, Hebrew, God. Ohim, who is many. It's the plural ending. God, who is plural. In the Jewish scripture, we have that from the very beginning. Now, Jewish scholars would tell you, well, you can use a plural ending on a word, and it's still singular, okay? Then why is it so important to put it on God? My question back. Because the Trinity is there from the very beginning. So this relationship we have with God, he sends us, we plow the fields and scatter, he sends us everything we need until it's time for us to join with him in heaven. My friends, this is most certainly. May this blessing of our relationship with God and the Holy Spirit keep our hearts and minds on Christ Jesus.